Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Appreciate you listening both to the audio version of Everyday Truth and then also to our Everyday Truth Live, 10 a.m. If you want to find it on my personal Facebook page at this point, we might migrate over to the other page, but if you just search Kurt Skelly on Facebook, you'll find it at 10 a.m. daily, and we'd love to have you join that for the weekdays there as well. We'd love that. Hey, Josh, we're in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Most of us know this story better as just the story about hell and the reality of hell. I've preached to several messages over the years from this passage of scripture. They're always difficult messages to preach. Yesterday, we stopped at the description of the rich man, the description of the poor man, last episode. And then now we see the poor man has died. On earth, that death went relatively unnoticed. Mm-hmm. But in scope of eternity, from God's view, he was carried by the angels. Boy, you talk about a funeral procession.
Yeah.
That's amazing. To Abraham's bosom, you talk about an attendee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, because we made a contrast earlier between a rich man and a poor man on earth, now we're going to take that same contrast and we're going to take a rich man and a poor man in the afterlife. The difference now is the rich man has become the poor man and the poor man has become the rich man. And the rich man has become the beggar, and the beggar is the one that's faring sumptuously.
Yeah.
So look at how that plays out in verse 22, where it says that the beggar died, and it was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So we go immediately to what happens in the unseen world. But when we talk about the rich man, we're staying in the seen world. Because the Bible says the rich man also died and was buried. So the Bible doesn't say that the beggar died and was buried. It's important for us to understand that the context here in an historical way, and that is to have a burial in Bible days was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it spoke to one's importance in life. So the point is, the rich man died and he was buried. So there was a processional, there was weeping, there were paid mourners that were there. No doubt he was placed ceremoniously in a sarcophagus, and then later on his bones were transferred to an ossuary, a bone box, and with great pomp and circumstance he was buried, and no doubt the people that had any reputation in town were there to give their eulogies. And the point is, boy, this guy on earth got all the accolades.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is that, the Bible doesn't include any of those details that you just mentioned. So even though all of those things probably did happen because this man was wealthy and he was rich, and I'm sure he had a lot of friends and he had people that cared that he died, the Bible immediately takes us to the afterlife and what happens to him when he died. That's just an interesting thought there.
Yeah, the Bible gives us in one word, a one-word description of what thousands, or today and probably if you extrapolate it out, tens of thousands of dollars were spent on, all of this. The Bible gives us one word: he was buried.
Yeah, right.
But then quickly the Bible goes to the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because my friends, death is not an ending, it's a transfer. And there's a big difference there.
Mm.
Death is not a wall that we hit. It's a door through which we walk.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference there. When you hit death, you're not hitting a wall. When you hit death, you're hitting a door. and you're going into another room, and you're going to spend the rest of eternity in that other room. Better make sure you choose the right door.
Yeah, that can be a scary thought, or it can be a comforting thought, depending on which door you're going to enter into.
That's right.
Yeah.
So to your point then, Josh, why don't you read it for us there in verse 23 and 24?
Sure. It says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame."
So hyperbole. If I could just have a drop of water. Mm. You know, it's circumstances really purify what we perceive we need.
Yeah.
So think about what did the beggar want on earth? Man, just a crumb.
Yep.
Okay. What did the beggar want in hell? Just a drop.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing the contrast,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, and it's a sad one. It's a
very sad one. So let's talk about the verses you just read, and what can we infer from these verses about this man? And then we'll talk, secondly, what can we infer from these verses about hell itself?
Yeah.
So first of all, what can we infer? You know, what are the truths here about this man?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things to me is in verse 24, where he cries out, and what does he say? He says, "Father Abraham." And so it gives us a little bit of insight into his background. We talked about it in the last episode, but here this man, he's, you know, a Jewish respected man, and yet his lineage, his riches, his wealth, they did nothing for him. You know, now that he's died, they didn't save him. They didn't, you know, get him standing with Jesus. He's in hell and he's lifting up his eyes. And the Bible says that he's being tormented by the flame. So you know, none of his earthly goods did anything for him.
Right. It wasn't his pedigree. Mm-hmm. I wasn't born into this. You know, we would say today, God has no grandchildren. Just because your mom's the piano player, your dad's the deacon, just because you grew up in Sunday school, there is no graduation into Christianity because of your pedigree, what family you're born into, what denomination you are. For the Jews, this was a big thing. They just automatically assumed, hey, mm-hmm. we're God's right. chosen people. We're safe.
Yeah.
Remember, John the Baptist, if you look at his ministry encapsulated in Luke chapter 3, we talked about this a long time ago, but John the Baptist said, you know, don't say just because you're Abraham's seed that you're going to have some special favor with God mm-hmm. just because you're Abraham's seed. God's able to raise up rocks unto himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing magic about your birth. You need to make sure that you've been born again, mm-hmm. right? That's what mm-hmm. Jesus told Nicodemus. So I think that's a great point that you bring, Josh, and that is that here's a Jewish man, and because of his familiarity, Father Abraham, one that took his religion seriously. Mm-hmm. And yet none of that amounted to anything in that day. Then the Bible says, so just talk about this rich man then again. And hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. So being in, so there's conscious, continuous mm-hmm, mm-hmm. torment. So this is the, because some people would look at hell and say, well, hell is annihilation. People go to hell, they're annihilated. That's the end. They cease to be. And as much as that would be attractive to believe, if I'm to take this verse at face value, remember, red letters, Jesus is speaking this. Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. Then I've got to look at the conscious, continuous suffering that hell brings.
Yeah, and so then I think that calls into question, you know, how does a loving God How do we balance God's love with what's taking place in this passage? And the fact is that we have to look at God's justice too, you know, that God is a just God. God is a loving God. God has provided us a way to have salvation and for this rich man to escape the torment. And so certainly there's a reality that to hell that has attempted to have been erased today, that, you know, God created hell not for mankind, but God created hell for the devil and those that follow him. But we have a decision to make as sinners, as people that have sinned. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory. I have a decision to make, and that decision must be to follow God so that I can escape the torments that are tormenting this rich man right now in this passage.
And remember that all of this teaching is within the scope of individual accountability. Mm-hmm. Remember, the entire chapter began with the unjust steward who saw his accountability. So a lot of times the argument about hell is, yeah, but what about this person? What did they understand? And I'm going to be here to tell you, Josh, I don't have a good answer for all of those arguments. I just don't. All I can say to you is this: what are you going to do with it?
Mm.
That's what I would say to every listener right now. Okay, yeah, I know that you can throw in all the what ifs about this person or that group of people, or all I'm saying to you, what about you? Jesus loves you. Jesus died upon the cross for you. There is no hope outside of him. He's offering to you himself, a relationship with him, the salvation that comes with it. What are you going to do with it? That's the point. The point is there's individual accountability here. What decision will you make? Mm-hmm. Because one day you won't answer for that person's opportunity or the question marks you have about that group of people. You will answer for yourself. And so this is a story told to us about two individuals.
Yeah, and one of the driving teachings here is that hell is real, and that there are real consequences for us if we choose to reject the salvation that's been offered to us through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just because I don't want something to be true, there's a lot of things I don't want to be true. Mm-hmm. I wish, you know, drug abuse wasn't true. I wish sex trafficking wasn't true. I wish abortion weren't true. Yeah. There's a lot of things I wish weren't true, but just wishing it weren't true doesn't make it not true.
Right, right.
So we have to deal with the unpalatable nature of this truth. Hell is a place, like Detroit is a place, like Minneapolis is a place, like Mars is a place. Just because I've never been there doesn't mean it's not
good.
True. The Bible tells me so. So the Bible says in verse 25, but Abraham said, son. So yes, he acknowledged him as a member of the Jewish race, to put it that way.
Right.
That might be the best way to say it. But remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He's pointing to the man's earthly life and saying, okay, you know the life you lived. He's pointing to his earthly sin. He's pointing to the fact that he ignored. That's the implication.
Mm-hmm.
This man day by day, that he was more than willing to accept his position that he didn't deserve and not help somebody in their position that they maybe didn't deserve. The point is this, that you're in hell for a just reason.
Yeah.
You're there for choices you have made. And while there's only one reason anybody would ever go to heaven, that's a faith in Jesus Christ, there are any number of reasons people go to hell. Why? Because we go to hell because we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was just an example of a physical example. Lazarus was sitting right next to Abraham. So this would be the most poignant illustration that Abraham could use of, listen, you can't argue the fact that you violated the law of God. You did not you did not come by faith to God in repentance and faith. You are deserving of, yeah, of what you now are experiencing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, as you're talking, I think about, as unpalatable and difficult as this truth is for us to listen to and digest today, the light in all of this is that if you're hearing this, you're alive. And you have the opportunity to make a decision. If you haven't, you have the opportunity to make a decision that will lead you away from hell and into eternal habitation with the Lord, you know, yes, in heaven.
Yes. And I'm going to leave it at that today, just for sake of time. I don't want to rush this. So we're going to come back to this next episode one more time and finish this story in the Bible. It's that important. But I would encourage you, as Josh said, don't put this off. If you have a question mark in your mind about your eternity and you would like more information about it, contact me. I'd be happy to. You can reach me at kurt.skelly@gmail.com. I would be happy to talk to you. Reach out. I'll send you some resources. But don't put this off. If you need to make a decision for Christ, now is the accepted time. Appreciate you listening today, my friends. I know it's been a sober topic, but it's where we are in the Bible. And let's take each passage and look at it just the way God wants us to. Hope you have a great day today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.